You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Lobs up top for Giannis, who sends it down on the left-hand slam off the alley-oop.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Knocks down the three on the right side. Welcome back, Grayson.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah!
All right, an impressive win for the Bucks tonight over the Golden State Warriors. Neither of these two teams 100% healthy for the Warriors. We knew yesterday there would be no Draymond Green. For the Bucks, we knew yesterday as well there would be no Drew Holiday, and we still are not very clear on when Drew Holiday could return to the floor. Some comments made from Coach Mike Budenholzer. We'll recap some of those, but when he was asked about it before the game, it sounds as though they're going to continue to take their time with Drew Holiday. It did appear as though George Hill would not play in today's game. As of yesterday, however, he exited protocols and George Hill got on the floor. So he at least had a little more point guard depth for the team tonight. But the story was who played point guard tonight, and that's Giannis. Third triple-double of the season for Giannis, the 28th of his career, and the third most triple-doubles in the NBA this season. Maybe the best half of basketball we've seen from Giannis since the playoffs in the first 24 minutes of play tonight. 23 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds as well. And his playmaking, finding his teammates, the Warriors had no bodies that could be put in front of him or slow him down. A dominant 24 minutes, helping the Bucks build up that laughable 39-point halftime lead and cruising to this victory tonight. A much-needed win to snap a two-game skid. Bucks had lost 4 of their last 5, but there's one trend that appears to be standing out here with this 2021-22 Milwaukee Bucks team. I'll explain what that is in a moment. If you want to get in touch with us tonight on the program, the number to do so, 855-616-1620. That is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. A dominant effort from Giannis. And by the way, we said we'd add a little more context to what made Giannis's triple-double historic. Yet another triple-double for Giannis. A 30-point triple-double, by the way. But yet another where Giannis did that in less than 30 minutes of work. First player in 40 years to have multiple triple-doubles with 30 points or more in 30 minutes or fewer. 40 years since the NBA has seen a player post two games and two stat lines like that. So Giannis continues to play his best basketball. But that theme we mentioned that starts to stand out here for the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis gave a little context to that as well. We'll explain in just a moment. But again, 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line to get in touch with us on the program tonight. The other thing to make note of here, look, the Chicago Bulls are not going away. That we just read through the standings at the end of the network post, but the Bulls still top the Eastern Conference. Bucks and Bulls right now with the most wins in the East at 27. Now, on the flip side, we have three teams in the Western Conference that have already made it to 30 victories, including a team the Bucks will see next week in the Memphis Grizzlies. So let's just take a step back here and look at the schedule the Bucks have in front of them or are in the midst of just at home. Talked about the Bucks playing the easiest schedule in the league by the numbers up to last week. But that does start to increase with difficulty, and it really kicks into overdrive in the month of March. But last week you were on the road in Brooklyn. You have the Charlotte Hornets, who have played the Bucks very tough. Now 1-2 this season are the Bucks against the Hornets. Those you knew would be two difficult games, especially with one of them being night two of a back-to-back, and we knew they'd be even more difficult once you saw the injury report for those games. But you had the Brooklyn Nets. You have the Golden State Warriors tonight, who may not have had Draymond Green, may not have been 100%, but they still had Klay Thompson and Steph Curry on the floor. And the Golden State Warriors, by the way, even without Klay Thompson, had been the best team in basketball up until mid-December. There's something that changed at that point as well. But you got the Golden State Warriors. Next week, as we mentioned a couple of times, the Memphis Grizzlies, who have currently won 11 straight games under the coaching of Taylor Jenkins, they come to Milwaukee. The Chicago Bulls come to Milwaukee as well. So that stretch, and oh, by the way, the Raptors, who the Bucks have struggled against this season. That's a difficult home stretch that the Bucks have. But the good news is those are the games that seem to bring out the best in the Bucks this season. Want to talk a little bit about Grayson Allen and what the Bucks got from Grayson tonight, what they've missed from Grayson as well. But what we just said there, these are the games that bring out the best in the Bucks. The numbers back it up. I'll explain it after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Giannis takes it inside and sits down with a two-hand slam as he just took it right through the defense. Hot knife, meat butter.
That was the entire first half. Giannis was the hot knife through the butter. That was the Golden State Warriors defense. His third triple-double of the season and the first time in 40 years in the NBA that a player has multiple triple-doubles with 30 points and does that in 30 minutes or less. 28 minutes tonight from Giannis in this dominant performance in a triple-double and a wire-to-wire victory, by the way, for the Bucks. Their seventh of the season. 855-616-1620. That is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line if you want to join the program on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Dell in West Dallas. You're up on Bucks Talk.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, I think we got to start using words with Giannis like one of the greatest. And one of the, you know, top five, top ten that's ever played the game, just because of how much he's improved his game over his career, and just the amazing triple doubles you just talked about, and how he's a guy that makes everybody better around him. He's one of the hardest hustling superstars you've ever seen, next to a Michael Jordan. And I just think we need to start appreciating him maybe more than we already do, because if you don't, then all of a sudden, you know, his max deal's done, he's gone to another team, or he's got to retire from an injury, and then you never celebrated him enough. And I just think we need to give that guy as much props as we can, because he's a once-in-a-lifetime player.
No, then that's clear, Dell, and I think – the other thing is this. He was included on the NBA's All-75 team that was revealed before this season tipped off, the 75th in league history. But what he's doing for the last 3 years especially, I mean, when you think about his journey, where he came from, I know where he was drafted, how he improved year after year. I mean, think about a couple of years ago, and we were talking about Giannis's numbers in every single category improved year after year. He became an all-star, and before that you thought, man, this guy feels like he can be an all-star. He's a player to build around. But then he continued to take those leaps and get to that level you're talking about. To do this 3 years in a row, to be a two-time league MVP, to win the Defensive Player of the Year and MVP in the same year, to constantly be an all-defensive player. He may be the Defensive Player of the Year again this year. To do what he did in the finals last year, that basically made him Teflon. To especially do that a couple of weeks, 10, 15 days, after we thought he suffered a knee injury that, you know, was definitely going to impact him this year, if not compromise the entire season, to put up 50 points in an NBA championship clinching game, and now to just, oh, by the way, continue to be dominant. I mean, I've mentioned it on the program before. He's the leader right now on Basketball Reference's MVP tracker, where they compile all of the metrics that they've used voters, and they've worked out the formula of here's how votes have gone in the past. This is the guy, based on that we project to win the MVP award. And he's the leader right now. What he's doing, the numbers match what he did in each of those two MVP campaigns. And it's gotten to the level now where it's not just when will Giannis pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the best player in franchise history. It is not crazy to say Giannis could finish his career at the very least at one of the 25 best players in league history, if not more, based off what he's doing now. Because players the level of Giannis, once you get that first championship, it usually doesn't end there. that you unlock things and you continue to work on your game. That's what we've seen. That's been a staple of Giannis. But when you're at that level, it usually doesn't end with one championship. When you figure it out, you get more. Think about guys like Tim Duncan. And if he gets multiple championships, that moves him past Kareem in franchise history. I don't know if it does in league history, but it moves him into that category where we're talking about you need a handful of guys that you're pointing out and saying they clearly had better careers than Giannis, but it's not much. That's what he's given us, and I think that's what we need to put into context and realize he's great, but this is all-time great stuff. And in 75, all 75 is great, but we're talking 25 and potential for more, especially if he wins multiple championships in Milwaukee. And the way he's played this season, not to make this too long-winded of a rant, but the way he's played this season, the way he played for 24 minutes tonight, there was no answer. And granted, not having Draymond Green solves a lot of that or helps a lot of that for Giannis and for the Bucks. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Andre Iguodala was viewed as the Giannis stopper. Andre Iguodala had no chance defending Giannis tonight. Kevon Looney had no chance defending Giannis tonight. So there was nobody that could slow him down. But he just, I mean, to keep using the word unlocked, he appears to have unlocked everything. He knows when to pick his spots, where to get to his spots, and his playmaking ability. I mean, the amount of passes we saw finding his teammates in the corner, the one-handed pass with either hand, which may or may not be something he's picked up and learned from Drew Holiday, too. But his playmaking ability, his ability to make the right read and right pass, but sprinkle in some things like the mid-range shot. Earlier in the season, we were talking about where are Giannis's shots coming from. He's taking fewer shots at the rim. He's taking fewer shots in the paint. He's taking more turnaround shots. He's taking more mid-range shots. It's kind of settled into place of his, you know, year-after-year season averages. But he looks a lot more comfortable there. And oh, by the way, he's been a 70% free throw shooter as well. So all of those things have taken his game to the next level. And, I mean, look, we also cannot undersell what his teammates have done, what Chris Middleton has done. And Chris Middleton, despite some of the struggles he's had earlier this season, Chris Middleton was fantastic tonight, hit four of his first five shots. When you have Chris Middleton, when you have Drew Holiday playing like an all-star this year, when you have those guys playing around you, when you have Bobby Portis, guys were hitting shots. It's one thing to get those looks. You got to hit the shots. And guys were hitting those shots. So that also makes Giannis look so much better because he may have figured out some things and stylistically figured out what makes sense and how he attacks a defense more. But let's just go back to that Heat series, and let's go back to the Raptors series. The Heat series especially. What stands out most is who are the guys that Giannis was passing the ball to in that series. And yes, Giannis left the series with an injury. But the guys he was passing to, Wesley Matthews was a big offensive option. Wesley Matthews was fantastic for the Bucks tonight. He has been all season long since he arrived, but it's mostly his defense and his situational shooting. Wesley Matthews was one of your big offensive guys. Eric Bledsoe was one of the big offensive guys. Of course, Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton. You didn't have those secondary really scores, and you didn't have Drew Holiday. That really has unlocked and changed a lot of this offensively for Giannis. So he deserves a ton of credit, as Dell points out, as not only one of the franchise greats, as one of the all-time greats we're seeing in this game. He is already one of the 75 best players of all time. That number is going to continue to keep moving up, and I don't think it's crazy to suggest he could be one of the 25 best players, if not even 15 best players in NBA history if he keeps doing this once his career comes to an end. But a lot of that has to do with the talent you surround him with as well. He can't shoulder everything. And you've seen Giannis as the playmaker, how he sets his teammates up. It's a lot different when those guys are capable of hitting shots and do hit shots. And that's been the biggest difference we've seen over the course of the last year and a half. 855-616-1620, 855-610-1620 is the number to get in touch with us on the program tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Grayson Allen, we got to point out what he did as well. As we talked about the importance of teammates and how that frees everything up for Giannis, in the beginning of the season, Grayson Allen was the guy we were talking about most when we made that point of, you know what makes Giannis so good? the guys you surround him with and some of these shooters that they have now, Grayson Allen's ability to do that. When we saw Jordan Wara get in extensive minutes, and Jordan Wara has shown you his ability to be an offensive threat, but you already got Chris and Drew. That's help. Bobby Portis. But Grayson Allen tonight gave the Bucks everything they have been lacking for the last couple of weeks. He had missed the last four games in health and safety protocols for the Bucks. But Grayson Allen tonight finished with three three-pointers, and it may not seem like a lot, but Grayson Allen was on a stretch of nine consecutive games with multiple threes made. That came to an end December 15th, which is a very interesting date for a minute. I'll get for a reason I'll get to in a moment here. But December 15th is when Grayson Allen's streak came to an end. Now, he rebounded nicely on the 17th, hitting seven threes against the Pelicans. But from that point forward, we saw a lot of struggles from Grayson Allen. 1 of 7 on threes against the Mavericks. 0 of 3 against the Celtics. 1 of 2, 1 of 4, 4 of 12, and then a 1 of 8 performance against the Pistons. Grayson Allen had a lot of struggles. There's a lot of reasons behind that. He battled the flu, and he lost 10 pounds doing that. Then he came back, and you could tell there was still something there with Grayson. That's when he revealed, I was still trying to get back into my old self and get back into shape from the flu. Then he goes into COVID protocols. But tonight, Grayson Allen, 3 of 7 on threes, all clean looks, all good looks, all of those shots it seemed like he took in rhythm. It's not as though he wasn't taking any of those shots in rhythm, but it felt like we saw fewer and fewer rhythm three attempts from Grayson Allen in that most recent stretch, right before Christmas, all the way up until that Pistons loss. He was fully in rhythm tonight, and he's a guy that the Bucks need to give that consistency. It doesn't have to be 4, 5, or 6 threes, but if you can get 2 or 3 threes and just get those rhythm attempts and good looks from Grayson Allen, you see how it unlocks a lot of things for this offense and starts to add a little more gravity and keep the lane a little more clear for Giannis, because as you know, Steve Kerr talked about this at length before the game, that Giannis offenses are so difficult to defend because he plays downhill, he's able to play fast, get to the basket, get to the lane, play in transition, and either he's going to score or he's going to kick it out to his teammate, which oftentimes is even worse for the opposition because you got to scramble and you got to switch and you got to move on to the second action and figure out where do I need to be. It's you got to play on a string when you're switching. If this guy moves here, where do I move? And you got to move in unison. You have to be a very, very good team defense and a good communicating defense to be able to pull that off. The Warriors are, but you got to do that night in, night out when you play against Giannis playing like this and with teammates that are hitting shots, and that's what the Bucks have missed for the last couple of weeks, and that's what they got tonight from Grayson Allen. Mike in Milwaukee, let's check in with him. You're up next on Bucks Talk.
How you doing, man? Coming back from the game tonight, very impressive performance. As you mentioned, Bucks have been struggling as of late, but tonight against a potential finals team, which a lot of people are expecting them to get to the finals. I understand they don't have Draymond, but we don't have Holiday, so that's a wash. And Klay Thompson is still working himself back in. Regardless, the Bucks, I think, wanted to send a statement tonight, and that's about as well as they played. They really just went off on the tip, really jumped on them. Warriors really didn't have any answers, and I just love the matchup where they just come at them in waves. They're just too athletic, too fast, hitting shots. You held a potent Warrior offense to under 40% shooting from the field. Curry was really a non-factor. Nobody else really did anything for them. So this is the type of Bucks team, when they're locked in like they were tonight, there's no team, I don't care who it is, at their best can beat this Bucks team. And our trio right now was spectacular. Giannis was his usual MVP self, Middleton, and then Bobby Portis locked in. As you mentioned, that X factor is going to be a guy like Grayson Allen. He's got to be that other guy, because, you know, in the playoffs, especially when you need depth and bench, you need guys to come off the bench and really perform when needed. If the starters are off or somebody's having an off night, and Grayson Allen, I think, is going to be that guy. I love that pickup, and he's showing he has the potential and consistently, and he's getting more comfortable, and I love what I'm seeing out of him. So all in all, can't complain. And the Bucks, I know, have been struggling as of late, but let's be honest. If they're locked in and focused, I think they're still the best team in the East. And do you think after this point they really get moving after the mini slump they just had as of late, after a win like this over an elite Warrior team?
That it's a good question. I'm going to get to it in just a second. Before I let you go, though, Mike, you were here. Who was the second best player in the game tonight? Because Giannis was clearly the best. Who was second best on the floor?
Would you probably say, in my mind, probably Middleton? Would I go okay. Middleton or Portis? I'd probably go Middleton. Who'd you go with? It's really toss up. I'd probably go Middleton, but you can make a case for Portis, either or.
You can make a case for a handful of guys. That's what makes it tough. Thanks for the call, Mike. I would say Chris Middleton, the first half, it was a tale of two halves for the Bucks to build up a 39-point lead, and then you could see they got complacent in the second half. Chris Middleton was great in the first half. He started to feel it early in this game. Bobby Portis made some big shots. We saw a lot from Bobby Portis. A fake dribble handoff. A Bobby Portis hitting a step back long two. A spin move on the baseline. So saw a few more wrinkles from Bobby Portis offensively tonight. But I wouldn't rule out Wesley Matthews either. Scored 6 points, the only starter not to reach double figures. But Wesley Matthews' defense, think about what he's done in the last few games. First, he was tasked with defending Kevin Durant and did a really good job. Not calling him PJ Tucker yet, but he did a really good job on Kevin Durant. And tonight, he took the majority of the reps on Steph Curry. I know Steph Curry wasn't solely defended by Wesley Matthews, but Steph Curry finished the game with 12 points and struggled from the outside. Wesley Matthews made him work. And the Bucks' strategy early, they were hard doubling Steph Curry. It was Wesley Matthews' versatility and ability to switch that helped them do that on the sidelines. But they clearly were saying, somebody else has to beat us. Even Klay, that's fine. If Klay Thompson's going to put up a lot of shots, we'll live with that. It was Andrew Wiggins early in the game, and it was kind of twofold, where the Bucks were just saying anybody but Steph. And it seemed like the Warriors were trying to target Grayson Allen, who was defending Andrew Wiggins. But the Bucks made it clear, you're going to have to beat us with somebody else, especially with no Draymond on the floor to be the quarterback. You're going to have to figure something else out. And Wesley Matthews did a really good job of making sure that was the case. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text line if you want to be the next caller on Bucks Talk. The question Mike asked, will we start to see a turnaround here? There is a reason for optimism on that front, and it's because, believe it or not, the schedule gets more difficult. I'll explain what I mean after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Ain't no way they can stop me now, daddy, cause I'm on my way.
Zings the pass to Grayson Allen, who knocks down the three on the right side. Welcome back, Grayson.
Grayson Allen with 3 three-pointers tonight. Welcome back, old Grayson Allen, in this one as the Bucks cruise past the Warriors. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text line to hop on with us on Bucks Talk. Let's head to Stevens Point and talk with Levi. You're up next.
Hey, Justin, how you doing this evening?
Not bad. Levi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a first-time caller, and it's an honor to talk with you. But tonight's game, man, the Bucks really did a really good job in the first half tonight. Especially, one thing I like was Bobby Portis made that shimmy shot when he hit the three-pointer just in time for the buzzer. That was some good dance move he did. But anyway, well, I just hope that if the Bucks continue when they get everybody healthy, hopefully before the playoffs, because this team's going to be so dangerous, whoever they play. But, you know, with all the COVID and all. But just hoping that they can get their act together. And I saw something on your Twitter account that you said, you asked, do Bucks fans really care what team they are? To be quite honest with you, I don't really care what they are at, as long as they're, like, in a top three seed, in my opinion. Okay. Hopefully we can win in six, like last year, like Bucks in six. So.
All right. Thanks for the call, Levi. So yes and no for Levi and whether or not it matters where the Bucks are seated. And look, I think a lot of that has to do with if you finish fourth, who finishes first? If you finish second, who finishes third? Because we also have to consider, what are the benefits to the Brooklyn Nets finishing in the top two spots if it remains as is. And if Kyrie Irving can't play in home games, if you're the Nets, wouldn't you much rather be a three seed to have more games on the road, especially in a 3-versus-2 matchup if that's against the Heat or the Bucks or even the Chicago Bulls? So there are some variables at play, but I asked the question, and it kind of it lumps into something we said at the start of the show, that if you're looking for optimism on why the Bucks may be going on another little bit of a run here, we've seen a few this season, it's as simple as this. I think in what we have been able to parse together here through this run of the season, through now 44 games, the most in the NBA, by the way, that the Bucks have played, I think it's becoming pretty clear. The Bucks are just bored playing mediocre teams. And you heard Giannis on the network postgame. You heard Giannis say something along those lines, almost backing it up of, you know, sometimes we just don't have it. And sometimes you don't have that motivation or that energy that you need when you look across the floor and you see who your opponent is. Games like this are easy to get up for. We got to get on that level game in, game out. When you look at how the Bucks got to this record that they're at right now, and when you look at how they built up these 27 wins and where these 17 losses have come from, a couple of things stand out. They've done pretty well against the best teams in basketball. First time you face the Warriors tonight, you beat them. You've faced, if we look at the top three teams in each conference, the East and the West, and right now the Bucks are not in the top three, so we can look at those six. Bucks have only played three of those teams. They've gone 4-3 in seven games against those three teams, but one of those was the second game of the season against the Miami Heat, where it was a lost cause. You just learned Brook Lopez would be out. It got ugly early, and the Bucks just were never in it and punted it. I'm willing to look past that one. You've gone 1-1 against the Heat since. 4-3 overall in those games. Where the issues really lie for the Bucks are with those middling teams, because 4-3 against the top six seeds. You have not played the Bulls, the Grizzlies, or the Suns yet. You'll face the Bulls and the Grizzlies next week. They're 17-3 against the six worst teams in the league, beating the teams they absolutely should sleepwalk to victories in. It's against those teams in the middle tier, the eight teams that would be in the play-in tournament and the three teams just behind those. So seven, the middle seven in the East and the middle seven in the West. You're mediocre at best, teams outside of the top six and teams outside of the bottom three, the playoff-ish contending teams. Those are the teams the Bucks have struggled with. 6-11 against those teams in those 17 games. And the problems, 1-2 against the Charlotte Hornets, 0-2 against the Raptors, 1-2 against the Celtics. These are teams no one would say is better or are better than the Bucks. It's cases like what we just talked about Giannis saying. It's tough. Dealing with COVID, dealing with hardship exemptions, dealing with a schedule and back-to-backs, those are the games that are tough to get up for. And those have just so happened to be the games that have fallen at those points in the schedule. 6-11 in those 17 games. The mediocre teams are the teams the Bucks have struggled with. That tells me they are bored, and the comments that Giannis said afterwards seem to back those up. When they play the good teams, they play well, and they get up for those games. When they play the really, really bad teams, no matter what the level of boredom is, they're going to beat those teams. It's the mediocre teams that you know are not better than the Bucks. Those are the teams that have given the Bucks trouble. That is what we've seen most dominant teams in year two or year three of their dominance really deal with, and that's the level the Bucks are at right now with that schedule. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Still a couple of minutes left on the program. Speaking of schedules, a couple of eye-popping numbers for Pat Connaughton, the Iron Man. We saw that streak come to an end recently. But in doing a little digging and looking at how many consecutive games Pat Connaughton had played in, there was a number that stood out to me a lot more. I'll tell you what that is before we wrap things up. It's Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
In the waning moments of the second quarter with six to play, here's a tough shot from Curry, and it's offline. It was contested by Matthews. Bucks, can they get one more? Portis at the hole! Ah! Yes, sir! A little boogie shuffle. for Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis, buzzer beater. Bobby did not get a double-double, did score in double figures. Four of the five starters did that. Giannis dominates with his third triple-double of the season. We told you at the top of the show, Giannis is the first NBA player in 40 years to have two triple-doubles with 30 or more points and do that in 30 or fewer minutes. Well, he also is the first player to play 30 minutes or less and lead his team in points, rebounds, assists, and blocks in less than 30 minutes. First player to do that since the 1973-74 season, according to Elias Sports Bureau. And by the way, it's nice Elias can tweet out these stats, but we're still waiting on them to get back to us whether or not Giannis was the first player to have a triple-double where all 10 assists led to a three-pointer. Giannis, the story of the game, though, is the Bucks snap that two-game skid, beat the Warriors here at Fiserv Forum, and get set for the Toronto Raptors Saturday. Make note of the tip time, 5:30 tip-off here in Milwaukee against those Raptors. The boredom that set in, I'm not going to hear otherwise. It's clearly what it is. That's why we've seen the Bucks. I mean, health and safety protocols, health, injuries, all of that, the schedule, that's had a lot to do with it as well. But the Bucks have clearly become bored playing mediocre teams. And nights like tonight against the Warriors, nights like Wednesday against the red-hot Memphis Grizzlies, and next Friday against the Bulls, those are games this team has gotten up for all throughout the season, and they've been successful in those games. So yes, I think there is reason for optimism for another run here for the Bucks. Before we go, one eye-popping number to throw out there. Pat Connaughton's Ironman streak came to an end. He played all 23 playoff games last year. He had played in over 100 consecutive games in the regular season as well prior to missing that game the other day. If we look at the Bucks' workload, I mentioned the 44 games played by the Bucks already this season is the most in the NBA. We point that out because they play the longest. The Bucks and the Suns play the longest into the season, the shortest offseason then in turn, and you had Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, two very, very big pieces to your team, spending a portion of their summer in Tokyo in the Olympics. So at some point, it's going to catch up with you. Look at how this year has been constructed. The Pat Connaughton streak is one thing. But since January 1st, 2021, the Bucks have played 133 games. Regular season or playoffs, that spans over two regular seasons and, of course, the playoffs last year. 133 games since January 1st of last year. If you just look at the calendar year of 2021, the Bucks played 127 games. The year prior, granted, we had the season shutting down due to a pandemic, but the year prior, they played 53 games in the calendar year of 2020. The year before that, they played 97 games in the calendar year of 2019. So 133 games they've played in the calendar year of 2021. 133 games they've played since then in the last 377 days. Absolutely insane. It was only a matter of time before that would start to catch up with the team. But nonetheless, an impressive win tonight, one of their best of the season, cruising past the Warriors to snap a two-game losing streak. Saturday night, the Bucks are back here at Fiserv Forum to host the Toronto Raptors, looking for their first win this season against the Raptors. It's a 5:30 tip-off. 5 o'clock coverage begins on the Bucks Radio Network. And as always, you can find us back here as the game ends on Bucks Talk. My thanks to Max for producing the show, to all the calls we had, and everybody else for listening and hanging out for the last hour. We will talk to you once again Saturday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.